5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey, this is not first class.
Clown Car, a parenting podcast where a mom
and a dad
talk about what it's like being the ringleaders in our own circus.
We are not professionals. The only credentials we have are four kids. So do your research and find out what works for you. So hello, fellow ringleaders. I am your host, Barry Ricks, and next to me is my beautiful wife, Crystal Ricks.
Hello.
So, hi guys. Welcome. Episode 11.
Wow. I feel like we should get an award or something.
That's right. 11 straight weeks.
Woo!
This hasn't died, and it's going strong, and it will continue to go strong.
And people are listening.
Yeah. And if you're a listener, we love you, and we appreciate it. But you know what? There could be more. So tell your friends about the Clown Car and how much you love it.
Speaking of love. Yesterday.
How was your Valentine's Day?
We would love to hear. We would love to hear about your Valentine's Day.
So we have a fun little traditions that we do for Valentine's Day. Instead of making it a mommy and daddy day of love, we make it a family day of love.
Don't say it like that. That's weird. of love.
But we actually got together with Crystal's parents and her brother, and we took all of our kids, and we all went to IHOP and had breakfast in the morning and exchanged Valentines. Now, okay, I have a question for our listeners. For you and your family, is it normal to give your parents and your family members Valentines?
Yes.
Okay. I'm getting to there. So, in Crystal's family, it's totally normal. Like, you're supposed to give a Valentine's.
Not only is it normal, but it's a big deal.
It's expected. So, you have to give Valentines to your parents and...
Well, your parents.
And other people and all this stuff. And in my family, we didn't do that.
Your family doesn't do holidays, though.
We do holidays. We just do the holidays that you're supposed to do with family, and the holidays you're supposed to do with couples, and other you're supposed to do with couples. Like, Valentine's Day is a couple's day. Generally.
I'm going to smack you, boy.
Generally, the concept of Valentine's Day is spending it with your Valentine, not spending it, or, you know, giving Valentine's to family and stuff like that, right? I just want to know, listeners, am I the only one that was raised that didn't do that? Or is my family just really out there?
Yeah, because growing up for me, Valentine's Day was the one day a year when my parents took our whole family. And we had I have three siblings. There's four of us. And they would take us to, like, the steakhouse in town. And so that was the one time we'd all get to order steak and awesome stuff. And at dinner, my parents would give us a little goodie bag of stuff. And if Valentine's Day was on a school day, my mom always had something delivered to us at school. Like, she'd leave a box of chocolate and balloons and stuff at the office. And then at lunch, when everyone's there to see, they'd walk in with balloons and chocolate, and you were like a rock star. So, yeah, I'm passing that on to my kids.
See, that's just weird to me.
It's awesome.
I'm not denying that it's awesome. I mean, well, like, the kids enjoy it. And
yeah,
it's...
we've been celebrating like this for 8 years. Better not be telling me you don't like it.
And, well, every single... You know how I think it's weird still, though, because, yeah, so...
Someday we'd like to get up to the steakhouse level, but we did McDonald's for the last 2 years in a row.
Well, we had IHOP in the morning.
Of course, our little kids aren't going to appreciate steak.
But since we did IHOP in the morning, and also Crystal and I felt awful, we were...
Yeah, we
It was either allergies or still sick, and we didn't feel well, and so we didn't want to do anything in the evening, so we got McDonald's and watched a movie, which we'll talk about.
So it ended up still being a family day.
Yeah.
But now that we live by my mom and dad, mostly my mom because she's the gift giver of the family. But she, so in the morning at IHOP, she gave them like, it was like Christmas because they had their bag of goodies. And then she got, because at Christmas she bought clearance toys, like actually like a $75 kitchen toy she got for like 15 bucks. So they got a whole new kitchen and this whole like Imaginext castle thing. And,
yeah.
I mean, it really was Christmas.
It was like Christmas again. Valentine's Day.
And then so it...
And to me...
That might be weird.
That's weird, people. Isn't that weird? That's weird to me.
Well, like, it's an excuse to make someone happy. I'm happy.
I
got you stuff. Oh, wait, that's not part of the argument.
That's not, that's the point. That's the point of it. It's like, yes, you're supposed to get me something. I'm your Valentine.
What? It's about love. It's not like love, but love. And I love my family. And I love you.
It's still weird.
Whatever. I love it. I had fun. Except, yeah, we didn't feel well and... We have these huge plans. So every year we usually do like bowling and then dinner and then we, I don't know, go to a movie or something. But this year we had plans to like do all this fun stuff and we woke up feeling terrible. And after we went to breakfast, it was like, well,
no, let's just stay home.
Go sit on the couch all day. But for once it worked.
Yeah.
Our kids like.
Well, because they enjoyed the movie we watched.
Yeah. And they.
Okay. So we'll just jump right into that.
Okay.
So like. We have a movie recommendal.
Recommendal?
Yeah.
Recommendation.
No, it's a recommendal.
It's a recorrental.
It's a recorrental.
A recommendal.
A recommendal. Okay. So, we watched, and how appropriate, because we watched a kid's show, but it was about love.
It was. And it came out, it was a Halloween movie.
And
but.
It was, it's called The Book of Life, which is about the, you know... It has the whole Mexican feel of the Day of the Dead and, you know, has the, you know, the gods that run those, the, you know, the land of the remembered and the land of the forgotten. And we were very skeptical going into the movie, but it turned out that this movie was completely fantastic. And so...
Yeah, we weren't skeptical because it was Mexican themed.
No, it's just because it was...
It just looked like...
It looked...
Like, it might just be, like, brainless too, humor.
Or it looked too artsy.
Yeah, or dark, because it's about dying.
Yeah, it's true.
But we will put a recommend... Or a...
Recommental.
Or recommerental. That's what it is.
Recommerental.
No, a recommendation on our website. Or a critique.
Yeah.
Because we actually loved it.
Yeah.
I was really surprised.
Like, our kids liked it so much that they wanted us to buy it.
After we finished, our son was like, I want to watch this every day. So that was a big deal.
It was good. So
anyway.
Oh, and speaking about putting things up on our website, this is going to kind of be a new thing for those of you that are listeners, but also maybe want a little bit more. Maybe you like reading blogs and stuff like that. Things are going to start happening on the Clown Car webpage. Crystal and I are going to start doing like movie or game recommendals or critiques.
Recommendal is not a word.
It's a word for me.
It, only if you coin it as a recommendal will I allow you to say that word wrong.
No. Recommendal.
Recommendation.
And yeah, so we, just to add a little bit more flavor to the
flavor?
The Clown Car. So that, so if there's any movies or games that you are ever wondering would be good for you and your family, maybe we'll have a blog about it and you could find out. So, or if there's something you want us to look into that, and we could possibly do that for you too.
Yeah.
So you can email us and you can also Facebook us. So.
Did you say games or just movies?
I said both.
Okay, yeah, because we've had some people ask
Tabletop games and video games.
Yes.
Because...
Like kid-friendly.
Family.
Or family-friendly.
Family-friendly or like, or good just family games.
Yeah.
Or also, if you have teenagers, there are more teenager-esque games that I play if you're interested in my opinion as a father and what I think teenagers should be playing and not playing, then I'll have those games as well.
Yeah.
But no rated M games. I don't play those, people.
Okay, so back to Valentine's Day.
Okay, love.
So I got to help out with my son's Valentine class party.
Oh, yeah.
Was fun. It was a lot of fun. It turned out really well. But there's this girl in Grayson's class. I don't want to say her real name. What should we call her? Susie.
Bob.
There's this girl named Bob. No. We'll call her Susie.
Winifred.
Susie. Or Jane. Jane Doe.
Jane Doe.
Okay, so there's this girl in his class named Jane.
Jane.
And she, from the very beginning of the year, has, for some reason, is just obsessed with our son. Like,
wants to marry him.
Yeah, and I thought that didn't come to like second or third grade, but apparently it happens in first. So every day he comes home and he's like, ugh, Jane was chasing me at recess. And the other day he said, Jane was trying to tie me to a tree so we could get married.
So he couldn't run away. It's like, stalker.
That's creepy. And then, so at the Valentine party, the girls that he sits by were like, yeah, Jane, we stopped. Jane was trying to trick your son into marrying her, but we stopped her. And I was like, oh my gosh, does this happen every day? And then, so they're talking about this girl, and Grayson goes, Mom, look. Because they had every kid's Valentine box where you drop the Valentines lined up against the wall. And he's like, look. And his is right in the middle. He had this big Minecraft head box for his Valentines. And I look, and there's a box next to his with this huge initial of the girl, for all intents, I'll say it was a J. And so I see this big J, and I was like, is that Jane's box? And he's like, yeah, she moved other kids so she could be by me. I was like,
no, wow. No, what's even better is Crystal took a bunch of pictures, right? And she didn't, and she was showing me the pictures, and I'm like, whoa, who's this girl in the background, like, just totally staring at the camera?
It's like she photobombed it.
It's like,
just over his shoulder.
It's kind of like a creepy little girl, like, staring at the back of Grayson's head.
She's not even smiling. It's like this emotion. It's like a movie. I always relate every tink thing to a horror movie, but it's like finding that in a horror movie and realizing who the killer is.
Hello, Grayson.
But she was, what was weird is she was across the room.
Yeah.
And it was like way in the distance. It wasn't just right behind him and she looked, but it was like she was watching him from across the room. But anyway, so this girl, Jane, Grayson was in the car telling me about her. And he was telling me the story about how she was trying to marry him at recess. And he was getting so upset. It really bothers him about this. And he was like, Jane is just, she's my whore. And I was like, whoa, tell me that's not another word you picked up at school. And so I kind of hit the brakes a little and I turn around, trying not to be like, what did you say? So I turn around like, excuse me, what word did you just say? And he's like, yeah, she's my horror. Like, she scares me.
Horror.
And I was like, horror? And he's horror. Like, yeah, she's my horror. And I was like, oh, phew, because that.
Yeah, those words shouldn't be so close together in sounding.
I was like throwing up in my mouth hearing him say that disgusting word, but it's okay if she's his horror.
Horror.
I mean, we saw it in the photo. That is kind of horrific.
Dun, dun, dun.
So that was my kind of Valentine experience. The party was good, though.
So I didn't experience any of this because I was on a business trip for 2.5-3 days. Yay! So, yeah, I just... Crystal, and I feel bad because Crystal was at home and still with recuperating kids. We weren't 100%, but everyone's on the mend and getting better. But poor Crystal had to deal with all the kids all day long without me for at least two full days. And I felt really bad. And it made me appreciate and love my Valentine even more.
Aw, thanks.
Yeah.
Public declaration.
Love.
Well, then I'll tell just a few quick stories about my week. So here's a new thing.
Oh.
The kids were outside, and I was inside. So they're in the backyard. And all of a sudden, I hear Grayson and Jay just totally bickering with each other. And Jay comes in, and she slams the door near tears. And she's like, Mom, Grayson said that my invisible friend isn't real. What do you say to that? not. I was like, it totally threw me off guard. I was like, well
what do you think?
I was like, well, Jay, he just doesn't believe. Thinking, you know, that's always the, well, do you believe? You know,
or just like, do you really see people?
I thought you were nuts.
Let's figure this out. Do you actually see people? Because if you do, then we gotta nip that in the bud.
Well, this just started. Like, she's just created an invisible friend. Maybe it's like Lacey with the balloons, that she's just been inside and sick for 3 weeks. Because it just started. So she has this invisible friend.
We need some play dates in
I
this
know. Hole. And, but what's sad is she also now has an invisible computer.
Oh.
And I'm like, that's so sad that even creative imaginative play, the media ruins it. So she's always like, Mom, I'm playing on my computer. What do you want to search for? Dora games or Sophia games? And then she'll sit there and play this game. And she invented this game where it's build a hot dog. So she'll sit on her fake computer.
What? That's a genius. Let's make the app right now.
I know. So she's always like, what should we put on the hot dog now? But it just makes me sad. Because back when kids knew how to live, we imagined cool stuff. Like ninjas and pirates and not.
Or ninja pirates.
I mean, that's like, because they always say when you are on the computer too long, it's just imitating life. But what is it when you're imitating life by imitating life. Like, what is that? That's a whole new ball game. I don't even know what that is. But it's been weird. So I didn't know what to say to Jay. So I was just like, well, if you believe, that's okay. And then she was totally fine again. But
when you believe.
It was just a funny argument. Like, they were really bickering. Anyway, so that's that story. Let's see.
So Crystal pointed out that I seemed like a actual small town boy. When I was in Houston, Texas, and I went to this place called the Galleria, which is like this ginormous mall of 3 levels and hundreds of stores and with an ice skating rink in it and all this stuff. It was crazy. And I was just like, kept texting my wife like, this place is huge, holy cow. And like, it has expensive stores and all this stuff. And then I come home and Crystal's like, you sounded such like a small town boy. I'm like, oh,
well, what's
I'm
funny
a small
is that
town boy.
You're from the Salt Lake Valley, which is huge.
Yeah,
it is that. But since we've been married, I mean, we met at a small town college and all we've lived in since were little podunk towns.
The current town we live in has been the largest town that we've lived in. And it's only 50,000 people.
And there's nothing taller than a 2-story building.
That's not true.
I haven't even seen stairs in this town yet. Your office has stairs. But anyway, so not only was he texting me about the mall, but he was sending me pictures. He sent me a video of how tall the buildings were where you were standing. And it just made me laugh so hard. It's the last time we went to Salt Lake, he was freaking out when we were driving on the freeway. So I think you've lost your big city boy.
I know. I'm not a big city boy anymore.
So anyway, it was funny. Let's see. Other things was, since our kids have been sick, it's kind of pathetic, but their favorite thing to do has been taking baths. Like, every day, sometimes 2 or 3 times a day, especially our 3-year-old's like, can I take a bath? Can I take a bath? And so when they take a bath,
you gotta stop letting them do that. Our water bill is gonna be huge.
I know. Well, I don't want to take it 3 times. I have done twice because they're sick and there's nothing else to do. But one time,
bath time. Woo!
I know. And so but the bath times have been lasting for like 1 to 2 hours, which is kind of nice because I get a little free time.
They get all pruney.
I know. I wait till the baby goes to sleep and then it's bath time. So it's like free reign of the house for me.
Well, it's good, but you don't wait for the baby to go to sleep in the tub. So
well, I throw him in the tub. No. So anyway, our daughter, our 3-year-old, she took a bath and it was one of those epic bath times. And I hear her calling for me and she's like, Mom, come check this out. And that's always worrisome. Because she's
wild.
Interesting. She has interesting ideals about life. But I go in there and she's like, look, the bathtub's pink. And I look in there and the water is like bright pink. So I'm like, how did you do this? And I'm just looking everywhere like, what did you do? But then I smell it and I realize, and I pick up our economy size brand new bottle of shampoo that we bought for the kids, and it's completely empty. And she just sat there, and it's one of those like pump tops, and she'd sat there and pumped an entire bottle of shampoo into the water.
Nice.
And I just let it slide, though.
I did not know this.
She's so bored. It's like, you know what?
You pump that shampoo. You pump it good.
I know. It was worth $5. It's okay. You're entertained and you're not watching TV, so I'm going to let it slide. But it was still, part of me was like,
that's money literally down the drain.
It was. So, also this week, the one day I was feeling well, I went out and the kids wanted to be outside. It was a nice, beautiful day. So we go outside and I'm like, hey, I'll start weeding our little flower bed. So I'm weeding it and I find, I don't know if we've told you guys, but, our kids are weird about bugs. They always have been. Like, they love bugs.
They love bugs.
They love them. And so I found a grub and I knew my kids would love it. So I called them over and our 5-year-old, she just like adopted it. It became her new baby and she named it Scrubby. Scrubby the grub.
Yep.
And she carried it around and she was like, I'm going to feed it some whatever. And she made it like a little sand bed. And so I let him take it inside because I was going to find a jar to put it in. And so they're playing with it at the table and they're all just loving on Scrubby. And I just kind of forgot about it. So yesterday, we're driving around in the car, and it just hit me, and I was like, where's Scrubby? And there's this silence, like, crickets in the back, and I look, and no one has any idea, and I was like, we lost a grub in our house? And so, it was just funny, no one knew where it was. And then we get home, and they're playing with all their stuff, and they're like, oh, I found Scrubby!
And Lacey's like, where? And she stomps over there. Squish.
Yeah, she stepped on it, but it was already dead.
There's Scrubby.
Because the kids are like, it's black. And so that made me feel totally grossed out that...
You let that bug come into our house and die?
Not just a bug, but like a grub. That's not something you find in your house. Like, sometimes you find cockroaches, because we're in the South. Or like, roly-polies. But a grub, that's just gross. And it was on our carpet. I could have stepped on it myself. But, so Scrubby the Grub.
Scrubby
May
the Grub.
May he rest in peace.
That's right.
Or pieces. Because he's squished.
He's squished now.
So, those are my stories. I have lots more. But, real quick, let's tell the biggest story of the week.
What was that?
Well, so Grayson, or well, so while Barry was on his business trip.
Right.
Grayson school calls me and I was like, dang it, because they've called twice to send him home from school because I thought he was feeling better.
Temperatures.
Yeah, and then he ended up getting a fever midway through the day. So it was the third phone call and I was like, oh, is he sick again? I thought we were over this. And the secretary is like, I'm calling to let you know that your son slapped a little girl and he has to be sent home. And I was like, what? And so I was just furious. So I drive over to the school and I was like, what happened? And the secretary said that a little girl upset him and he slapped her. And no one saw. So I don't even know how hard it was or anything. But yeah. So I get out in the car and the whole way to school, I was like preparing myself because I felt furious. Like, we do not hit. And I just couldn't believe that that happened. You know, my baby, he's such a good boy. I couldn't believe it. And so I was preparing myself and how I would handle it. And he got in the car and I was like, come sit up here with me and tell me what happened. And so he said this little girl got up in his face and was screaming. And he claims he asked her to stop, but she didn't stop. And he just couldn't handle it. So he just smacked her in the face. And so we talked about it and he cried. And I knew that he felt bad about it. He knew it was wrong. So I didn't feel like... I feel like punishing would just be, what's the word, like rubbing salt in the wound or something. Yeah. Like, he obviously felt remorse for it. So I reiterated, like, you're crying because you know it was wrong. And we don't do that. And then so we went home and And he had already said, when we were walking to the car, he's like, I guess I'm going to lose video games today, huh? And I was like, yeah, you are. And so...
He made his own punishment.
Yeah, which was nice that he recognized that something was going
to
happen.
Something needed to happen.
And so we went home, and I made him sit at the table and write an apology letter to the girl, but also to his teacher. Because we had parent-teacher conferences just a few days before, and she was raving about how well-behaved he was. And the secretary had told me that, like, his teacher was just shocked that he did this, and she was really upset with him. So he had to write his teacher an apology, too. And then we turned off all electronics for the day, which I have to say was torture, because I was sick. And I just sat on the couch, and I was like, oh, just end day. You need to end. Because my youngest daughter was like, I want to watch Octonauts.
And it didn't help.
Octonauts!
And it didn't help that I was out of town.
I know, so I had no break. Usually at 5, I'm like, take the children. But I had nothing, and I didn't even have TV, so... But I made it, and it turned out to be really good. I feel like it was a good experience. Well, I mean, not that I want my kids to go around hitting people.
Yeah.
But I felt... I don't want to say proud, but I felt like that was the best that I could have handled it. And that made me feel like Mom win.
Yeah.
Which is good.
One for Mom.
So, tell me what you would have done if your kid slapped somebody.
Yeah.
Did I handle it well? Not that I'm looking for
validation. Validate me, people.
I'm interested to know what you would have done. Because it turned out well. And he really is a good kid.
Yeah.
I think he's just tired and grumpy.
Well, and he had been home for like over a week being homesick.
Yeah, doing nothing.
And so he's like... being thrust back into school life. And
yeah, he spent an entire week understimulated.
So, not that we're justifying his actions, people, because what he did was totally wrong and inappropriate, and we let him know that. But we're just trying to figure out why.
Okay, and that's the thing that surprised me, is have you ever seen that cartoon drawing that goes around on Facebook where it has the picture of the parents and the kid in the 1960s.
Oh, yeah.
And
they're like yelling at their kid for the bad grade.
Yeah, for the bad grade. But now, and it says now, and it has the parents yelling at the teacher.
For the bad grade.
And so when the secretary first told me that he slapped the girl, immediately I was like, well, what did the girl do? And she was like, well, she was yelling in his face. When I picked up Grayson, I was like, well, did the girl get in trouble? Because I wanted to have the blame all put on her. And I was like, wow, I have that mentality that I was trying to kind of justify it off to someone else. Mm-hmm. But at least I recognized it right away. And I was like, no, this is about my son. Like, he even, when he wrote his apology letter to the girl, it said, I'm sorry I slapped your face, but you hurt my feelings. And to me, I was like, that's not an apology. You're trying to put all the blame on the girl still. Whereas she did do something wrong, in my opinion, but your reaction wasn't right, and that's what the focus is. So I made him rewrite it, and some people say that's good, some people say that's bad, but...
What are your thoughts?
So I just recognized that I was trying to find fault with others.
But in the end, you were a good communicator.
Ah, you segue. Cutting off my rant here.
Communicated well with your child, which leads to our discussion of the day. We're going to talk about communicating with your kids, but today we're primarily going to focus on destructive
the bad part.
Communication. Like, you don't really think about the destructive side of communication. And we're going to kind of highlight a few things that we learned going to our parenting class. And so, like we've mentioned before, we're currently going to a parenting class that we go to, and we've been learning a lot. And so we thought this would be something valuable to share with everybody.
Yeah.
So
next week we'll talk about
the good side of
how to counter this. But tonight we're just gonna raise awareness.
Yeah.
Ooh, we should feel like we should be having ribbons for this or something. Raise awareness for destructive
communication.
DC.
Huzzah.
Destructive communication.
Oh, see, my mind went straight to comic books.
Oh, DC Comics.
DC Comics.
Destructive communication.
Yes.
Anyway, so That was loud. We are going to just read off some of these things called common communication practices that drive children away. And I want you to listen and see if you've said any of these.
And we're guilty of some of these.
So here's some of them. The first bullet point is lecturing, moralizing, preaching, and interrogating. So here's the examples that they give.
Well, let me get to my notes.
It's right there.
Okay, so if I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times, can't you get it through your thick head that ...
Next, you should be ashamed of yourself. Now look at what you've done.
Ooh. Why in the world did you do that?
I feel like we're having reader's theater.
Yeah, I've done that one, though. Why in the world did you do that?
Oh, yeah. So the next bullet point is discounting, placating, or providing empty reassurances.
Calm down. There's no reason to be upset.
That's my bad one.
Yeah, calm down.
Okay, whatever it takes to make you happy.
Everything will be okay. Lots of people have suffered worse.
And then the next one, next bullet point is judging, condemning, or threatening, such as...
The trouble with you is... ...
You'll never amount to anything.
Try that again and you won't sit down for a week. Yeah, yeah.
That shouldn't be funny, but... Anyway, next bullet point is blaming, criticizing, or ridiculing.
It's all your fault.
You are so irritating.
I can't stand it when you whine like that.
And then talking about one's own feelings when a child needs to share his or her feelings, such as...
I know exactly how you feel. When I was your age, I... ...
So, did you recognize anything in there that you've said before? Because when they read them to us tonight, I was like,
I've done that one.
I know. I was like marking the ones like, yep, I just said that one yesterday.
I do this on a daily basis.
Now, not all of them, but there are some of them. So those are some of the destructive ways that you can communicate with your child. And that actually surprised me when they called it destructive, because for me, like, oftentimes I say, well, knock it off. That's irritating. Or you're bugging mommy. And I've never thought of that as, like, that could actually be harming my kid.
Yeah.
Like, for me, it's just a statement. Like, leave me alone.
She's like, leave me alone.
But it surprised me because it says, how did they word it? Destructive. Oh, practices that drive children away. So, obviously, there's some merit behind this. And I really, really, really want to work on this and nip it in the bud because I have a very short...
fuse.
Annoyance fuse.
Me too.
So I get annoyed pretty easily, I guess, with my kids. And so that's really what I want to work on. Do you want to keep going or save it for the next week? Well, I guess our challenge for you this week, and this is the challenge they gave us, so we're just passing it on, is to think about those statements. And they actually suggest in the manual to write down the ones that you use.
Yeah.
So if you recognize that you're using any of those, like us, I have exactly 4 of them that I say a lot. But
there is one thing that we can talk about this week that can be helpful, is using I statements.
Oh, you want to go to that?
Yeah.
Wait, but first, so write down the ones that you say so you can recognize it when it happens. And so the first thing is just recognize. What's that statement? It's the first... What's the thing? Recognition is the first thing.
Oh, what?
Knowledge is power.
Come on. Knowing is half the battle. Go Joe. Jeez. Destroy my childhood, why don't you?
Hey, well, if you can't say recommendal.
Recommendals.
There. Now we both slaughtered something. So, knowing is half the battle. So, recognize what you're saying and then work on stop saying it. So, something to help. And like we said, next week we'll
focus more on the helpful, the
communication.
But we didn't want to tear you down and not give you anything to think about. So, instead of saying those things that we read off, there are there's something a little bit more effective way of communicating to your kids.
And your spouse.
And your spouse or your anyone. It's,
yeah.
This is good communication for anyone. And their I statements. Mm-hmm. So, and there's different parts to it. So there's the first part is I feel. So you're stating, you're putting it on you. So you're not saying you are such an awful person because of this and this. No, it's you. You say, okay, I feel frustrated or I feel sad. And then the second part is, you know, why? So I feel sad when you tell me that you hate me. Luckily, we haven't had our kids say that yet. But, you know, I feel sad when you tell me that you hate me because, and that's the third part, is I feel sad because it's...
I love you or
Because I love you and it hurts my feelings when you say I hate you. But,
yeah,
but
so always the direct whole, it with an I feel.
The whole, yeah, the whole point of it is to kind of put it on yourself and not the other person. So it's not like you're blaming yourself or necessarily blaming the other person, but it's like, okay, I feel frustrated, like if you're talking to a coworker, I feel frustrated when frustrated when you tell the boss that you're taking credit for something that you didn't do because I'm the one that did that.
You jerk!
And so, I don't know, it's just...
The other example they
well,
give...
Well, it doesn't... When you attack someone by saying you, people put up defensive barriers and defensive mm-hmm. walls, and children do the same thing. Surprisingly, it's a natural reaction to become
unfortunately to become
defensive when you're saying you all the time. But when you're saying I feel and I don't like this, and that it opens up a door to healthier communication.
Yeah. So just one more example. In the manual, it says, I feel upset about the juice on the living room floor because now I'll have to get the carpet shampooed and that will be expensive. And when you read that...
And you're an idiot.
I know. You dang kid. Nah! When you read it, it's makes sense that it's so much more logical.
Oh, yeah.
But it goes hand in hand because... If my kid spilt juice on the living room floor, I'd be like, I told you not to do that! And that goes along with the destructive things.
Yeah.
Like, we are so... And like, we've talked about hulking out. It all goes hand in hand that it really is just about training ourselves to catch it right before it happens.
Yeah.
Like, before you say something nasty, think about how to word it.
That's why we said the challenge is, like, when you say those phrases... recognize that you say it and write it down. That way you're like, oh wow, I just said that and I need to change my responses when this situation happens again. It's gonna take effort because a lot of times we're not like when we're in the heat of the moment and we're, you know, hulking out, you know, we're not like, oh, I need to go write this down now because
I want to express my feelings.
So it's gonna take effort and it's gonna take time, but It's for a good, better cause because it will help you be able to communicate better, not only with your kids, but with everybody.
Yeah, and this is something that we felt like focusing on it tonight because it's something we need to work on.
Yes, we do.
And so, last thing. So we told you to...
We need to stop hulking out.
I know.
And we need to be Gandhi.
Ew, be Gandhi. So your challenge with us is to write down those destructive statements that you know you say and just be aware of them. Focus on when you say them. And then they also suggest, if you don't think it's ridiculous, is to role play the I statements with your spouse or a friend or something.
It's not ridiculous because...
I know, but when you say role playing,
think of the hard time I had just thinking of something up right there. So,
yeah,
it might be good to practice. Be like, here's the scenario. What do you say?
Yeah, and so it says practice 5 to 10 minutes, and have your spouse think of things that your kids actually do or say, and then. then focus
make
on it,
it. It makes it more real for you that way.
Yeah, like right now our kid's knocking on our door because he hasn't gone to bed yet.
Knock, knock, knock.
So, Barry, let's role play.
There?
I'll be the child. But I'm not tired.
Well, I feel really frustrated because you are knocking on the door and interrupting our podcast, and because you're doing that, it's actually a good thing because, you know, we're able to talk about it on the show.
Thanks, son.
Thank you. So yeah, so...
It's hard.
It is
we're
hard.
We're really going to have to practice
oh,
that.
Oh, man. That's rough.
Why can't we just say, you're annoying? Why is that destructive?
Because it is.
I have daddy issues. Anyway, so that's it. Thank you for listening to The Clown Car. Parenting is hard.
It's hard, as we've demonstrated.
And we believe you should get a gold star just for trying.
Just remember, our ways are not the only way. Find out what works for you. You're doing a good job.
You can follow us and share your thoughts on Facebook and Twitter at The Clown Car and email us at theclowncarshow@gmail.com. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show on iTunes. And until next time,
enjoy your circus.